Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to this, page 10 of the Hot Stage Diaries. Now, if you've been keeping track, you know that this is the last page in the diary. We've had an exciting 2 weeks in a warehouse in an undisclosed location in Silicon Valley. Today, that's not where I am. I've been putting about 2,000 miles between myself and that warehouse. I'm now back near the Swamp Studio. And what we're going to do today is look at some of what we've had over the past 2 weeks. It's kind of a look back at the kind of content we've had here in the diaries and the kind of excitement we've had here on the radio. Well, let's get started. If you recall, early on, we had some issues with the wireless on the radio. And since we're all about telling you about what's going on, let's look back at what Heather Williams had to say about our wireless issues.
So yesterday, during the Hot Stage Diaries, we had some bobbles on the wireless network. And we're here talking with our wireless network expert about some of what went on and why it's important and why what went on yesterday means that the same thing can't happen when we get to interrupt. So, first of all, can you just set the stage? What was going on with the network, the wireless network, that required a change?
So the problem that had been occurring all day was with the existing network, the existing access point that was there, and a decision was made sometime yesterday afternoon that we just needed to. They were looking to change it out. They didn't have a replacement access point on hand. I happened to have 70 of them sitting next to me, so. Quickly, I threw some new code on there. I got the parameters that was running on the existing access point, and I made those config changes just on the fly. Classically, what we one of the things that happened is that we made the decision to make a change in the network without actually polling the users and finding what the use case was. The problem that you experienced only by you because everybody else was a data user and it was seamless to them. The one person we should have talked to about, hey, are you using the network and in what manner are you using the network? So the lesson on this one first is know what the network is supposed to be doing for you and when it's supposed to be doing it before you actually implement those changes. So what was happening just 43 seconds before you went live is my very own opening sequence to broadcast news. And despite the accent, I am not actually Holly Hunter. And we pulled off part of it. And at the last minute, I let the ball slip through my fingers.
Well, I'm not sure that it slipped. As you said, for the majority of people sitting here at Hot Stage, there was no noticeable impact whatsoever, except that their wireless connections became more reliable and faster. So can you tell us a little bit, first of all, about what was going on that made the streaming audio? I was, of course, trying to get into the radio console through Skype. What was going on that caused a problem with that particular application?
Right. And what happened was the access point, I had left it in, we'll call it learning mode. So the access point was actually using the channel that it was on and seeing what the throughput was. In that mode, the access point was would change channels periodically, which had zero impact to anybody. In fact, I wouldn't have even known that there was a problem except for I was in earshot and I heard you make the side comment. And as soon as you said it, I knew exactly what had happened and how to rectify it. The why it's not going to happen with me ever again or at Interop is because the access point had actually just been booted about 2 minutes before you went live on your network. We obviously are staging everything here in the warehouse, as you can see, and we will be on-site at Interop about 4 days before the actual event starts. So the reason why you design, test, and test your network before you actually use it, it was well illustrated yesterday.
And just to clarify for people, that learning mode that you talk about, under normal configuration and deployment scenarios, that's actually a very good thing to have going on. What does that do for an access point in the normal deployment scenario?
Right, and it's a classic case of the using the correct tool for the correct application and at the correct time. In a normal and as nasty of an environment as we're going to see RF-wise at Interop, what you want to be able to do is use the absolute best, make the best of the environment that you have. So once we're there and everybody has deployed all of these, everybody's going to bring in every device under the sun and deploy that. It's going to be a very congested RF environment, and so what we want is to be able to eke out the best we can for each. So whichever channel is the best at this very moment, that's the one that we want to be using, and so that's why we have something like that in place.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to educate us, and from the Interop conference attendee standpoint, I think it's a good thing that we now have everything in place so that by the time the attendees get on site, they'll have nothing but rock solid, high performing wireless networking going on.
Well, absolutely, and I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this was all your fault because you told me, you asked me if everything was going okay, and I failed to knock on wood after I said, oh yes, everything's humming along. So I will not only have a big stick of wood, I will be knocking anybody over with it that asks me if things are working okay.
We'll look forward to that. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yes, and as we all know, it was in fact my fault, as most bad things were. So it's one of those things that you learn to put up with when you're there covering the NOC team. Somebody's got to be at fault, might as well be me. Well, the wireless ended up working beautifully, as most things do. One of the other systems that had to be taken care of during the time of the hot stage were the core routers. Now, core routers are not things that you just go and reconfigure and reboot lightly. So after it happened with the Interop net at hot stage, I asked Chris Peacock, who was handling most of our deep router stuff, to explain what had gone on, and he did so. Here's what Chris had to say.
So I'm here with Chris Peacock. So I'm here with Chris Peacock of HP talking about something that went on with the Interop net at Hot Stage last night. I noticed the emails flying around late last night. Chris, tell me what you had to do. Why was there the need for this flurry of emails?
So the flurry of email was sparked with the fact that it stemmed from an issue with the router here in the warehouse that we troubleshot during the day, and a little further where it impacted at night, where there was a lot less people working here in the warehouse. So when we were looking at the router, we were checking the versions of code, and it's like, all right, you know what, let's update it. So we went ahead and brought in new code right from development into the environment. So we did I triggered the announcement doing the warehouse first, and then went ahead and let the timer tick down, and then went ahead and applied that code to the warehouse router. And then once it was done, it was like, okay, while it was doing its thing, I was logged in checking the other routers at Denver, San Francisco, and Newark, and decided, well, might as well do the updates since it's going to be bouncing anyways. So went ahead and applied it, you know, probably within an hour, updated the four core routers within the network.
Now, I'm curious, when you talk to people who manage core stacks, applying new software and rebooting a core router is not something that people do lightly. It in a production network, of course, it's something that tends to have to be scheduled weeks in advance, if at all possible, and as you say, making sure that every possible application is shut down, that no one's going to be applied, tends to be done in the middle of the night in the most active locations. But in this case, was the patch to address a real problem that had existed? Was it simply to make sure that we're demonstrating the most current code? What was the real reason for moving ahead with this patch?
So the reason we decided to move ahead is we patched a year ago, so we were a year out. Looked at the release notes, preliminary release notes, and thought, okay, you know what? Because the warehouse was idle, there may have been one person here. The impact was low, so we went ahead and do it. In most production environments, we probably would not have done this. But because of the environment that the InteropNet brings and the ability to go ahead and try new code in a quasi or basically a production environment, yields a great value in return when you can analyze the impacts of it. Like when you can look at, okay, we put this code in, it's not public release code, it's internal code from HP that we put in last night. So we're looking at it from an HP perspective, giving it some loading, some testing in a real-world environment that you usually would not get in an enterprise environment. They would wait for usually like an N-1 type of release.
You know, that brings up an interesting point, because I know installations where they literally haven't touched the code on their core stack in years. Yeah, with the general attitude of, if it ain't broke, don't touch it. The opposite philosophy applies to stuff out on the ends, the edges of the network, where it's considered vital to keep things patched to the most current level. Do you think that people are missing the boat at the core router level? I mean, is that something that, in your mind, people should really look at? You talk about an N-1, but at least staying within easy hailing distance of the most current code revisions? Or is it truly a case of, once you've got something stable, just let it go until something causes it to keel over?
That's more of a I've always left that more to a client dictation and their policies. The bulk of my career I spent in the financial industry, in the banking environments, working with the Tandem Nonstop servers. So we did OS upgrades there once a year, whether we needed to or not, just so we were within the last, you know, we started with an N-1, but ended up, but by the last time we did the last 26 node, we were probably N-3 at that stage. but we were at least within the same main thread. So I usually just leave that to a client dictation, but I'm of the same philosophy. If it's not broken, don't touch it, right? We're not fixing anything. Usually we apply a patch to address an issue or bring a feature in that we're looking for. In this environment, because of the dynamic environment, we're able to go ahead and leverage it to bring in alpha or beta, well, probably not alpha, but more beta or pre-QA code to the environment to see how it runs. The other unique thing about interop is hot stage is, 10 days while we're getting everything ready, and then we go to show. Well, when you hit show, you're live and you're running, so that whole enterprise experience gets really hammered. Your 5 nines or 8 nines, whatever number of nines you want to have, really starts to get down to milliseconds in the show environment. So we want to make sure that we're stable for a show, and also we wanted to run, you know, try some new code out to see that we're not injecting any problems.
So our conference attendees who are listening to this, they can be assured that with all the experimentation, when they get to interop, they'll be able to count on their connection to the outside world.
Correct. And, you know, following good practices, I left the code that was previously running there. And it's set that it's all set. So if we have to reboot the device or something, we can do it relatively quickly and roll that code back pretty fast.
Outstanding. Well, Chris, thanks very much for taking the time to come over and be with us here in Interop Radio Broadcast Central.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we had all of the router maintenance that went on. I saw messages going back and forth. Pretty much all of the pieces of the interop net were being reconfigured, fine-tuned during the 2 weeks. Of course, I've also seen the messages that now everything is powered down, everything is set for shipping and ready to go to Las Vegas. So the next time you hear from the interop net, it will be from Las Vegas. Well, we've got just a couple more minutes, and for those who might have missed it, I thought it was worthwhile taking one more listen to what the lead architect of InteropNet, Glenn Evans, had to say about the status of our network at InteropNet, had to say. I think he was pretty pleased. To be brutally honest, I think pretty much everyone there was pleased. I saw over the course of 2 weeks a lot of intense work. I don't think any of the days were shorter than 12 hours. But there was a great deal of sharing information, of good teamwork, and true camaraderie. Well, let's take one more listen to what lead architect Glenn Evans had to say about the status of the network before we put everything into boxes there in the warehouse.
Glenn, we're sitting here at the tail end of the hot stage process. How has it gone? Are we where you had hoped to be at this point in the entire experience?
Oh, very much so. We've got an operational network. The purpose of Hot Stage is to test things out, make the mistakes here in a controlled environment before we get to the expo floor. We've managed to achieve that goal and resolve some of the niggling issues that we had over the last couple of weeks. All the gear is now operating as it should. We've got it fully documented, so we can break it apart, take it to the expo floor, and put it back together in fairly quick time, and be confident that the testing that we've done here, such as, you know, power down testing, testing load, you know, connectivity, will work because it's been done here. So at least we now have a baseline to work from for when we get to the expo floor. We can now say, yes, it did work in the warehouse. What has changed between then and now to make it not work or not work as it should?
Well, you talk about getting to the expo floor with all the work that's gone on here and with things going as expected. Does that mean that when the entire team arrives in Las Vegas a few days before Interop opens, that they're in for a completely relaxed, easygoing kind of few days?
I would never say that. One of the challenges of the event space of the invented environments is you just never know what's going to happen. Hope, you know, we could lose a truck on the way over here. You know, we're taking 2 53-foot trailers full of gear. Yeah, it's possible one won't make it on time, which could delay us. We could have issues with rigging the fibre. You know, we always have the challenge of, you know, forklifts getting in the road, and, you know, they tend to be a little bit bigger than us, so we defer to them. But, you know, the reality is, you know, we've been doing this a little bit for a while now, and we've got our processes and procedures in place. You know, it should be smooth, and, you know, if it's not, we've probably seen the challenge before, and somebody's got a fix for it.
Outstanding. Well, Glenn, thank you so much for inviting us to be here during Hot Stage, and we'll look forward to seeing you again there at the build-in process at Interop and picking up our reporting at that point.
It's been a pleasure to have you guys here. It's I think it's been, as always with InteropNet, it's a collaborative effort. We do our thing. You guys have been very good at, you know, messaging out what we do and how we do it. And I look forward to the move-in process, and then finally that last beer after the tear-in process, tear-out process.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Well, we've had the tear-out process from the warehouse at Hot Stage, and now everyone has returned to their day jobs, and we're left for a flurry of emails as people continue to communicate about what was going on. And of course, we wait to see the status of the 255-foot trailers filled with equipment that will be heading for Las Vegas in just a couple of weeks. We really appreciate you being here with us. Now, Interop Radio continues every Tuesday. Interop Radio occurs at 3 p.m. Eastern, that's noon Pacific. And there will be plenty of special episodes of Interop Radio from Interop itself, starting the week before Interop, when we're there during the build-in process. They're helping you understand what's going on as everything we've heard about at Hot Stage is moved to the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. We look forward to having you with us for all of those episodes, whether you're joining us live here on demand at Blog Talk Radio or in the podcast available through iTunes. For everyone here at Interop Radio, I'm Kurt Franklin. Thanks so much for being with us. Hey, we'll see you in Las Vegas.